The text for our sermon this morning comes from the epistle reading as we go through the book of Ephesians these couple of weeks in the summer. Ephesians chapter 3, the entire reading, but most especially beginning in verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, St. Paul wants us to know something that is beyond knowledge. An interesting play on words. But you do see where he grounds it. He grounds it in the love of God, the love of God for us, shown in Christ. You can see that in the Old Testament reading. You see that the covenant, that God putting the bow in the sky, the rainbow, God is the one doing all the work. He's the one making all the promises. He's the one showing Noah and all of us that His mercy doesn't depend on us, but it depends on Him and who He is. Paul continues that Christ would dwell in you by faith, trusting in those promises that God makes to us. This is one of the mysteries of the faith that we accept by faith, that Christ dwells in our hearts through faith. This is what unifies the Christian church. This is what unifies us with St. Paul. This is what unifies us with the Ephesians. This is what unifies us even with Noah. Faith in God. Faith, not just in a generic God, but faith in a God who showed His love in Christ Jesus for us. This is what unifies the church throughout all ages. Faith in Christ. In Him, in Christ Jesus, we are all one. Paul established that last week in chapter 2 of Ephesians with all the in Him promises. In Him, St. Paul said, we find all things. Now in chapter 3, he begins to show us how that happens. How is it that Christ makes us one? How is it that Christ joins Jew and Gentile, Ephesian and foreigner, believer who was once an enemy of God? How is it that Christ makes us one? St. Paul makes it plain. By faith. He comes to us, and the more we trust in His mercy, the closer we come to one another, the closer we come to our friends, the closer we come to our enemies, the closer we are united with our church and family. There is nothing else like this, being unified by faith in Christ. It cannot be rationally explained. It cannot be tested in a laboratory. We cannot cut open a Christian and find a little Jesus sitting inside, controlling our arms and legs with little levers like that alien from the movie Men in Black. Faith is receiving from God His mercy. Our unity in the faith is that together we have all been given forgiveness. We have all been given mercy. And faith receives those gifts. We are unified by receiving from God, not by anything we do. And this is a comfort for us who know we are sinners. Christ dwelling in us by faith is to be accepted by faith, because any other so-called means of trying to find unity will fail. If you think about it, all through history, every effort of man to unify himself with one another has failed, trying to find heaven on earth apart from heaven which came to earth will fail. Well, maybe not all efforts of unifying mankind have utterly failed. One way we've managed to find unity with our fellow man is certainly in sin, in carrying out evil. That's one way we've managed to find unity with one another. Unity in evil. That seems to be something we all have in common. Thoughts, words, and deeds, that seems to be something we don't even have to teach. We just, by our fallen nature, sin. The Tower of Babel being the first attempt at man to unify around a goal, a common interest without God, and look what it got us. But St. Paul is telling the Ephesians and us where to find true unity. That he, that God, through Christ, may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Paul is pointing us to the antidote, the answer to what divides us, to what divides friends, to what divides families, what divides citizens of a country. That there is only unity found in Christ. Faith itself is not something on its own. St. Paul says to find unity, that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. Faith itself is only as good as the object of faith. So often man puts his faith in so many other things to find unity other than receiving from Christ. Our fallen tendency is to find some sort of unity apart from receiving. We want to do. Or we want others to do as we want. Think of politics. Finding unity in politics will fail, especially when there's a power vacuum or when agreement is hard to find. Unity in a common economy will fail. Unity in family, your family bonds are not permanent. Jesus even says that he came to bring division between mother and daughter, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, between brother and sister. That if you are not unified in Christ, even in your family, those bonds between you and your loved ones mean nothing. You may have a sentimental feeling at Christmas or Thanksgiving, but the presents, they get old. The turkey gets eaten. The old arguments and disagreements make holidays quite uncomfortable. But in Christ, in forgiveness and reconciliation, unity by faith in the forgiveness of sins given from each other, finding its source in Christ, there is a unity there that is eternal. Unity in a common mission. That seems like a laudable goal, but unity in mission is not a true unity either. Our nation perhaps likes to think we're a force for freedom, that we use our military to spread freedom, and to some extent we've been successful. However, as our troops withdraw from Afghanistan, the Pentagon is careful not to call it a success. Or even in the church, a common goal, a common mission to spread the gospel, that is a good goal, but that's not what unifies the church. We are not made one through a common mission nor a common goal. Unity also doesn't come through a leader nor a church structure. Many have tried to unify around a church structure or a person like the Pope. However, this also leads to failed unity. Just look at the supposed Roman Catholic politicians who support abortion and the church that calls them out. There is no unity. St. Paul has been sent to preach Christ to everyone. But in particular, St. Paul says he was sent to the Gentiles to tell them of the unsearchable riches of God in Christ Jesus, both for Jew and Gentile, for everyone. because God knows all the failed attempts of mankind. All the failed goals, all the failed structures, all the failed attempts to find some common unity or foundation apart from evil. But when man actually embraces evil as the unifying factor, then we must pray for God and the Holy Spirit to protect us, that God's kingdom would come, and that every plan of the devil would be destroyed. Finding a common grounding, fallen man tries to do, but every time man tries to unify, it crumbles. All that's left is a pile of dead bodies from communism, dead friendships from disagreements, all leading to unbelief. There is no unity apart from Christ and faith, unless it's a unity of chaos and evil. And we see this. You don't have to look hard to find it. Get a large group of people together, and it's very easy to whip them up in a frenzy. How easy riots took over our nation these last couple of years, and it seemed so effortless. And you know this personally. It doesn't take too much for us to get upset, to lose our patience, whether with family, friends, spouse, people at work, or those on social media platforms. They say something and whammo, it distracts us. Too often we know our family bond with all humanity, the family trait we share of sin. However, we as Christians, we are different. You, dear Christian, are different. You do not revel in chaos. You do not revel in evil. You do not revel in rebellion. We have a different Heavenly Father, and that's where St. Paul starts us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. We have a God, St. Paul says, who is indeed Father to all creation. He even made the promise in Genesis between not just man, Noah and God, but he says, this is my promise for all creation, that we can either rebel and fight and be spoiled children, or we can repent and live by faith. Because there's a unity that is even greater than our common humanity. There's a unity of faith in Christ. And that's where Paul is nudging us today in all of our relationships. That there is one unity that is founded in the character of God Himself. The relationship, the familial relationship of Father and Son, where the Son never rebelled, yet always obeyed. The goal of dying, the common mission, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of sending the Son to die for the sins of all the world, a common mission accomplished and done. In God, we see all failure of mankind, all man's attempts at some unity. In God, we see it perfected. That even in marriage between Christ and the church, we find a husband in Christ who is always forgiving, always teaching, always giving. Rooted and grounded in the very Son of God, who was tempted as we are, yet never sinned. That's why St. Paul is pointing us not to some random love of God, but to the love of God shown in Christ Jesus for you, for the whole world. Mission accomplished. That economy together between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all predicated and built on the giving of forgiveness. Jesus came to show you God's mercy. That His mercy knows no bounds. What is the breadth and length, the height and depth? You cannot extinguish the mercy of God in Christ by your sin. God's mercy is always there for you, making us one, not just with Him, but with each other as well. that once where division and anger ruled, where rebellion and evil had its way, even in our friendships, our places of work, our churches, and our families. By baptism, God has told you, you are already one. The unity of faith in Christ cannot be penetrated by any outside force. How can this be? And that is St. Paul's point in Ephesians 3 in these verses. The love of God cannot be metered or measured out. There is not a little forgiveness here, a little forgiveness there. But in the blood of Jesus, all sins gone. Paul uses the word of love, and the scriptures define the love of God. God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That when God sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, it wasn't just for the Jews, but it's for Jews and Gentiles. It wasn't just for good people, but for all people. Jesus came for sinners. For those who doubt Him, when times get tough. Paul in Romans continues to preach about how in Adam, the common unity that we all fell in Adam in death and sin, but then he says, in Christ Jesus' life, we have a unity even greater. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all men sinned. Many died through one man's trespass, Paul writes. Much more has the grace of God and the free gift of grace that in one man, Jesus Christ, God's grace abounded for many. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. So too for us, our receiving forgiveness and mercy and giving that same mercy and forgiveness, there is unity. So if there is any love, any charity, let it be so first among the household of God that we receive from God, all of us together, the forgiveness of our sins. Are your sins big? Fear not. Are your divisions between friends and families seemingly irreconcilable? Fear not. Pray for God to give you wisdom and endurance. Do not give up. Do you fear the things of this world? Do you compromise on God's word because you're afraid you might lose friends or power in this life or riches? Repent. Receive forgiveness. For God, St. Paul says, is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think according to the power at work within us. Remember, Paul's writing this from prison. Don't you think that he perhaps prayed that God would free him, maybe once or twice? As he sits in prison, he knows God can do far more than he thinks. But by faith, he knows a knowledge that cannot be learned, but only receives. He receives his prison sentence, knowing that God, his heavenly Father, is taking care of him. So too for you. You are joined to a family where baptismal water is thicker than blood. You may not be in prison, but God still calls you to endure under your cross, to strive, to run your race, remembering that you have a Savior who knows your every need and will never abandon you because He has made a promise to you that He will forgive you all your sins, that He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and that He has made you one with all His saints. So may that peace which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.